You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Tonight on the Cooligans, it is the European edition of the show. We have been to Paris. We are currently in London. Yes, the pinkies are up. The tea, the crumpets, the croissants. We're doing it all. We're talking about Messi's first home match, which we attended. We were actually there. So we're traveling around London now, and you'll hear all about it.
That's right. Plus, we got Richie Ledesma. You might know him from PSV Eindhoven. You might remember him from MLS. He's possibly going to be a part of the U.S. men's national team. We try our best. Maybe we break some news. And also, what's up with Serginho Destin's hair? We find out that and more today on the Cooligans.
Yo, it's me, Dave Vianich here, and I've been hanging out with the Cooligans, having a nice, and I hope you've been having a nice too.
Yeah, baby.
Look at this.
One of the people in the hotel room next to us thinking, what is happening?
Oh, that couple's having a good time.
Wow.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cooligans Euro edition.
We different now. We hold our mics with our pinkies out.
Okay. All right. Our currency is very different. As all these different colors, it's very, very strange.
Yeah, it's weird. There's holograms and an old white lady on it. Not a fan. We are on our European excursion.
That's right. We'll get into all of that in a moment. Hello, everyone. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show right here on Football Sports Network.
I don't know if you notice. Also happens to be the gulliest, even when we're in Europe, baby.
That's right. We are currently in London.
That's right.
All right. So this is, borders can't stop us. Okay.
Uh-huh. Right? And you know, we're interviewing a guest in Europe as well. We're interviewing Richie Ledesma on this show.
That's right. Of PSV Eindhoven. The USMNT.
We tried to make it there, but we stopped halfway.
the USMNT hopeful came up through the youth ranks and hopefully, I guess we'll try to convince him to make the decision officially, get capped and play for the U.S. men's national
team. That's right. By the way, is that breaking news? Ooh. By the way, London isn't the only place we went. We also went to a little place called Paris. Have you heard of it?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have heard of it.
Oh, is it the thing I'm wearing right here? We actually got to see Lionel Messi play his first home match for Paris Saint-Germain. And what an exquisite stadium, an incredible experience. France is crazy.
Everyone, you should really be impressed because Alexis does not use the word exquisite too often.
Usually, okay? When I say like this is so buttery, it's exquisite. Okay, you know?
The butter was a big hit. That's really the only thing Messi's competing with. Butter is the popularity between Messi and butter. Messi barely stands a chance.
Uh huh. And let me tell you something: the French love to sit in outdoor cafes and have espresso all day, and that's to counteract the sheer amount of butter they're eating. Absolutely incredible.
Well, we've been having an incredible time so far, but like we said, we did go to Paris, mm-hmm, to Parc des Princes to see Lionel Messi play in his first game. And it wasn't just Lionel Messi. There's a bunch of other players on there that are quite popular and really quite beloved. Obviously, we saw Kylian Mbappe.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. No, Neymar was also there.
Neymar was also there.
Yeah. No, like superstars. Like, but we ain't come to see y'all.
No.
Y'all
no.
Here every week.
You are second billing. Yeah. All right?
No offense, but y'all been here and we ain't come out to Paris.
you couldn't draw us to this to Paris. Messi did.
Yeah.
Really, it was a spectacle. It was PSG against Lyon. Obviously Messi's first home game for the only other club that he's ever played for besides Barcelona. Mm-hmm. And
outside of his youth,
but I'm saying at the professional level,
yes,
right? They weren't paying him he wasn't getting money.
He wasn't getting them steroid shots.
Okay, we got to thank Barca.
Thank you, Barca,
for making that man 5'3".
Yeah, you really juiced him up there.
With all due respect, of course.
Yeah. You can't say that.
I'm just saying,
with all due respect,
bro. Have you ever been on the internet when you say something negative about Lionel Messi? Bro, people lose their mind.
Yeah, it's not fun. But Real Madrid fans got our back.
So, but getting to see him play.
Also, can we talk about how close we were?
We were quite close.
We were so close. It rained on us. That's how close it was.
Yeah. We were in front of the covering.
Third row.
Mm-hmm.
Insane. Like Lionel Messi, like droplets could hit us from his sweat as he wiped his hair back. It was absolutely insane. In fact, it started raining. We went to go buy ponchos. They didn't sell ponchos.
They don't sell ponchos.
So I had to buy a 110 euro jacket, which was like 150 bucks?
Yeah.
Very expensive, beautiful jacket, but very expensive. And I was like, whatever, it's going to rain. I don't want to be wet and I don't want to get sick for London. So let me buy it. Put my credit card down, and as soon as it was approved, stopped raining. No rain has touched this jacket. I am so
mad. The weather in Paris and in London has been exquisite.
Okay? Yeah, speaking of exquisite, a damn near buttery weather.
There's been no rain. There's been literally, it's just been like literally 10 minutes of rain in Paris. After that, it's been hot. It's been warm. It's been lovely.
It rained long enough for me to buy a jacket that's way too expensive. And the game was incredible, though. We got to see up close Lionel Messi running around, and there were two Americans next to us. She's yelling, "Messi, look over here," and everyone was very upset at them. And I'm like, "We're not with them, mate." You know, we both turned on our accents. We don't know these two. Okay, Gang Song, you know what I'm saying? But dude, I didn't get to see Messi be hurt. I know that you're talking about him injuring himself, but I really didn't see that.
Yeah, so there's a lot of controversy in this game that we were a part of. Who knows if we were? It was because of us.
Or maybe they dialed it up for us. You know, we grew up watching TV novelas. Give us the drama.
So Messi, it looked like at some point around the 70th minute, he was like rubbing his knee. It seemed like he had maybe knocked knees against another player.
And he was getting just clattered into the entire match. I mean, so it makes sense.
That's the strategy in France. It's like, they see Messi.
It's a hack in Argentinian.
they know the move. They're like, I don't want to be embarrassed by this dude. He hit the crossbar on a free kick.
Incredible.
I mean, look, getting to watch these dudes in person, it's different than on TV. It's different than in FIFA. They are insanely fast. They make wildly precise cross diagonal field passes.
Dude, when they switch sides of the pitch, it literally, they could hit a dog's hair in between two blades of grass if they wanted to. Absolutely insane. I will say this much, though. Everyone has an incredible level of talent on both squads.
Mm-hmm.
But when Messi's out there, it looks like Messi, Mbappe, and Neymar, obviously, but the Lyon players look like it was Christian and I playing against someone who was very good. You know what I mean? Like, just the disparity of talent between Messi and everybody else is pretty evident.
Yeah, and look, and the injury, I don't know all the details. It looks like
I think it was an injury to his ego, because he did not want to get taken off.
Right, because that was the talking point after the game, that like after he got subbed off, actually, before the game ended, because they ended up winning 2-1 on a cross from Mbappe. Icardi gets a header. It was
so an Argentinian scored while we were there. We don't have to tell you who.
I cannot believe this happened at the game that we went to.
It was pretty incredible.
It was very incredible, but that was the talking point, that Messi didn't want to be taken off.
And he wouldn't shake Pochettino's hand.
Yeah, there's all those photos of him being like, yo, what are you doing? Yeah. I'm going to be here longer than you are.
Let me tell you what I saw. I saw Messi disrespect the former Tottenham manager. That's how I'm phrasing it. And that was beautiful. North London derby coming up. You feel me?
So still, obviously, so much to cover, because obviously we did a lot in Paris. I already went to one match.
That's right.
In London. I got to see Everton play against QPR in a Carabao Cup match.
Did not turn out the way you wanted.
So, but you know what? It's really just about the experience.
Yeah. I'm sure that's what all the fans said as they were drunk getting back on the train to go 2 hours back north to Liverpool. It was, you know what? It's the experience that counts.
You know, I wish I was on that train back with them.
You and your brethren. Okay, so there was a press conference while we were out here in Europe. And it was in regards to League's Cup, which people are like, who cares about? It's just a couple matches, right? And a trophy no one cares about. Well, it turns out it's going to be adjusted slightly. You know, your old friend, you haven't seen in a few years. You come back, you're like, damn, you put on some weight. That's exactly what happened in League's Cup. And look, I haven't had time to check the internet, Christian, but I have a feeling that it's being met with patience and reasonable responses.
Alexis, look, I've browsed the internet a little bit.
Okay, you've been on.
And I'm here to break it to you.
Oh, no.
Some people are being, they're typing in all caps.
Oh, about how much they love this idea?
No, Alexis.
It's the opposite.
So, yes, the League's Cup has announced that they will be an expanded competition. They are changing the competition, which now the competition is essentially like
a couple hand-picked clubs.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you wanna play over here? Like,
yeah, it's a little exclusive. You gotta have the right shoes to get in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So obviously, Seattle Sounders are playing in the final, mm-hmm. right? So there's that is what Leagues Cup has been for us. It's been an experimental tournament, but now
right. It's fun. It's been fun to see,
right?
And I think it's always good for MLS clubs to get more matches against Liga MX clubs because it gives you an idea of what you need to work on in order to win things like CONCACAF Champions League. Well, we're gonna get a lot of opportunity to see that, so, and everybody gets a hand, huh?
So 2023 MLS and Liga MX
yelled all aboard.
Everybody get, we're going in, we're going streaking.
Okay.
So they're gonna be playing, so all 47 clubs, mm-hmm. in three countries, obviously Canada, United States, and Mexico, will be playing in a World Cup style tournament. So you can block off a whole month for this in 2023.
Yeah, both domestic leagues are going to shut down for that month.
Mm-hmm.
Liga MX starting towards the end of July, they start their season. So I'm assuming it's going to be kind of preseason-y maybe it'll be like the end of the season for MLS clubs, kind of preseason-y. Or like early season for Liga MX, which turns the tables, flips the tables. Usually it's the other way around.
So it should be, there's no doubt it's going to be entertaining, but let's talk about the positives and negatives of this.
How about start with, do you like this idea? And that's a yes or no question, Christian. Don't add anything on top of it. Yes or no. I'll answer as well.
That's simple.
Do you like
answer,
the yes or no?
Yes, I do like it.
So do I. Oh, our fans are mad at us. I can hear the typing.
Okay, so let me say, let's add some nuance to it. What could be possibly bad about this?
Everyone really angry at us has already stopped listening.
Let's say what is good about it, right?
Yes.
It grows. We all know Liga MX is the most watched soccer league in the United States.
I'm also going to guess in Mexico as well.
Right.
Yeah.
No, there's like the big Colorado Rapids fans out in Mexico. Don't you know that? All due respect to Colorado Rapids. Yeah, having a great season. Anyway. So clearly, the move for years has been, we've interviewed plenty of people, especially when we spoke to Dan Hunt, mm-hmm. owner of FC Dallas. Shout out to poor one out for Lucha Gonzalez, by the way. Yeah. Just got sacked out there.
Sorry, homie.
But Dan Hunt, when we asked him about just these rumors,
which we thought he was going to give us like a meaty answer.
We thought he was going to like deflect and be like, no, these rumors about.
But he took his pistol out and shot it in the air is what he did. He was like, I love it.
I love this idea. For yes. Okay.
No one asked you to do that. Whoever lives upstairs is very upset. He said he would love the idea of mixing the two leagues together in some way, which does beg the question, is this it?
So at least this is in the introduction of that, or the possibility.
Right.
We'll see how this goes.
Was this the goal, or is this the beginning to get to the goal,
right,
which is fully mixing both leagues domestically, which has never happened before? Right now, this competition is for, obviously, the trophy, the League's Cup trophy, which is a half a soccer ball cut in half turned and inverted. That's really what it is. The question becomes, and obviously you get three CONCACAF Champions League spots.
Yeah.
But what happens if this is just the beginning? What happens if this is Liga MX's way of sealing off their top flight and not allowing promotion and relegation? And what if this is the first step into a combined league?
Yeah. So that
North American Major League Soccer, MX.
Let's go. Everybody, give us suggestions for names. We're going to need them.
Analysmix.
So this is, there is that concern because the traditionalists want, you know, our country. Have our league, and we have Champions League, and that's where we play each other, and we don't need to mix the leagues. But the frustrating truth when it comes to the business of the sport in the United States is MLS needs support. They need help.
Yes.
Liga MX and MLS need, and I don't use that word lightly, they need to work together for both survival. It's a strange...
But also in order to advance, because we're the two best leagues in CONCACAF,
yeah.
Right? What's it going to take to compete? Like, obviously, the end goal is to want to compete with UEFA, right? You want to, especially every time they see the Euros, they probably get so angry, you know? How do you compete with Champions League? How do you compete with that? The only way to really do it is to combine, I think. And it's in an effort, especially to compete with Libertadores. Maybe the next step is, and they've been talking about this for a long time, Copa America Centenario, right? Like, these things that there has to be a way, obviously during COVID is a bad idea, but there has to be a way to get the Copa Libertadores clubs to play against MLS and Liga MX clubs. And if they do that, I think that would compete pretty well against, the UEFA stuff.
Yeah. I mean, look, when it comes to, when we see UEFA Champions League and Europa League and Europa Conference League, and they're doing it too. They're adding all these other competitions. They need, they just want clubs to, continue playing.
Right.
They want TV rights for all these tournaments. Like, we can obviously see through it, but when you see the kind of the situation, especially Liga MX, when it comes to promotion relegation, they're like that. One day they do it, one day they don't. They change the rules whenever they feel like
it. They've been putting bullets in that thing left and right. They just haven't hit a kill shot yet.
Clubs, they have one jersey, and then an owner comes in. He's like, he ripped it off the shirt. He's like, all right, you're wearing this now.
Or if they get relegated, they're just like, we'll buy the promotion license off another team, and the other team's like, we don't want to sell. And then they see a red dot on their head, and they're like, hey, you know what? All of a sudden, I feel like selling this to you. I don't know. Why?
It is the Wild West. They're trying to like normalize and you know, just add some stability. And we're not about, here kind of saying like we got to protect these owners. It's not about that.
No.
It is just simply that there is, when it comes to CONCACAF and how these things are governed, there seems to be no real law in place.
Yes.
where we know for like, the FA has been running things for, like 120 years. And
right.
They're like, and the rules from like a lot of the rules from day one are like almost still in place. And we don't really have that. So it's going to I think this is going to be our opportunity. We're seeing the infancy of whatever North American soccer culture is.
And if you're a Seattle Sounders fan, as an example, probably one of the teams that can make it pretty far, right? Especially the way they're situated right now. If you're a fan, you would love to see them play, Portland Timbers twice a year. But I'm sure you'd also like to see them play Club America.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a lot of excitement there. Me being an NYCFC fan, I think NYCFC could potentially hang with a lot of these Liga MX clubs. I think that'd be fun, especially with a guy like Maxi Morales, who's played in Liga MX.
Yep.
And we've got, strikers that were looked at by the Brazilian League and stuff like that. I think there's a real chance that some of these clubs, at the very least, it will be an opportunity for MLS clubs to say like, yo, we got to get better because we're getting... we're getting trashed year in this competition.
This will force everybody to get better. But I think in the next couple, in by 2023, I think maybe the MLS roster rules, maybe we add more designated players, maybe remove that entirely. But this is going to bring on the complete change of how rosters in MLS are going to look like.
Yeah, yo, we need BAM, like a brazy allocation money. And they're like, yo, it's whatever you want. It's infinity, baby. Go spend that guap.
Okay, so there's some news here that kind of upset me. I saw this from Wolverhampton.
Yes.
It's a tweet from them. They're saying that they are announcing a new record label, a Wolves record label, to help aspiring and emerging artists. There is nobody less equipped to handle a musician's career than a football club.
Yes. Okay. You have already made a great point. But I will also say, is anyone who owns a record label equipped to handle a musician's career? We've heard nothing but horror stories. And I actually think this is a great idea. Like, soccer teams will start, esports teams.
Sure.
And they'll start, their basketball teams. Like, FC Barcelona has a basketball team. Real Madrid has a basketball team. Why not? Why not a record label?
It's just esports, they do sports, right? There's at least a connection there. If it's Memphis Depay getting signed,
God.
there's a couple Footballers that they have bars.
Well, let's just say this isn't for footballers who want to make music.
Right, right, right.
Please, please let that not be what this is. This is, they're actually going to go out and find emerging artists locally in the Wolverhampton area, which we know is rich with musical talent.
We're in London right now. That's all we're hearing about what's going on in Wolverhampton.
Yeah, you know, there's the sultry sounds of Wolverhampton everywhere. They got bars. They got musicians everywhere. It's the Nashville.
Just everybody. Just hitting lunch tables, making beats.
Okay? I mean, they are prepared. They're trying to get signed. You don't have to play sports anymore. Now you just got to be able to use, logic.
Look, we know he's a great rapper, by the way. I know you love him.
No, I meant Logic is horrible. Sign with Wolves, Logic. And what happened? Hold on. What happens if the soccer team gets relegated? Do they get paid less?
Yeah, you're going to have to like...
You get 0.00001 cents.
Right, right,
spin.
Yeah. We can only do an EP now.
I'm so sorry.
Obviously, this is a marketing, I'm not even going to say ploy. It's like, whatever.
I don't think it's a marketing ploy. I think it's an opportunity to expand their revenue.
Well, but this is what happens with football clubs in general, that they're like, you know, we don't have to just succeed on the pitch. We're trying to be a global brand.
Right.
And this is that foray into that. So I get it. I get it, but I want to see the if you are a rapper and you have 12 offers from LaFace Records and,
wow.
And Motown.
Yeah, yeah. Which I don't know what graveyard you've been pitching your albums to.
You know, wow. You got all these offers.
Yeah, I got an offer from Loud Records. Well, I got to be honest with you. I think you're getting scammed.
This lady, Gladys Knight, has something. I know it.
I just have to send this check from Nigeria, put it in my bank, and I'll be fine.
But if you have all these offers in front of you, why in the world would you accept one from Wolves?
I think this is going to go to folks who don't have offers from everywhere. Okay.
So I get that. But then if you are only getting offers from Wolves, that also saying a lot about your talent level.
Yes.
No?
Maybe, but it's a record deal. That's all you want. If you're a footballer and you want to go pro, you don't care who. You want a contract. If you're a musician, you're about to get a contract. How about, you know, like when Starbucks started selling food, McDonald's was like, they're coming for our neck. We're going to do coffee.
Yeah.
Right? What if the record labels are like, wait a minute, what? And now it's like, what if OVO, Young Money, gets a soccer team in MLS? What if Def Row comes back?
Yes.
And they put together a soccer team. Could you imagine that? They're like, we want in on this Leagues Cup.
We're trying to compete with USL.
Yeah. They release a first kit, an away kit, a third kit, and a home bandana.
Which they have to wear during the game.
Uh-huh. Some of the players were red. Some of the players were blue. And they, you know, it doesn't matter.
But those are the only two colors involved. Okay. So, look, it is, I can imagine there has to be some, like, some fan base, maybe not Wolves, but, like, would Manchester United do this? Would Liverpool do this? Would Everton do this? Would Arsenal do this?
Arsenal.
This makes more sense for Arsenal than anybody else, to be honest. Because of how many rappers already love Arsenal.
Oh, okay.
The culture.
So I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Culturally, they're already in that.
Yeah, yeah.
Wolves is like, somebody likes us, right? No. This is why they started a record label, because they want musicians to like them. They're going to pay them to like them.
I want to know. I got to listen to this first track, this first artist. If you are seeing this and this Wolves, first signed rapper comes out and I don't see it, send it to me. Tag me, because I want to hear this badly. We will review it on this show.
Okay? Oh, that'd be great.
Okay. All right. We got Richie Ledesma of PSV Eindhoven and possibly the U.S. men's national team coming right up.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to this podcast episode. We just want to break in with a word from one of our sponsors. Actually, it's us, and it's our Twitch channel.
That's right. You know, you've seen us on Fubo TV. You've listened to us on the podcast. Maybe you've clicked like on one of our personal seductive photos on Instagram. Okay?
You know how we love those thotty pics.
Okay. We know the game, all right? We're not going to...
Anything for likes and views, baby.
Yo, that's what you got to do nowadays. But we're also on Twitch. We live stream... every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern time for Prem Show. But we do other stuff as well. We do watch-alongs. We interview people. We play FIFA. And we're going to be doing a lot more stuff on there. So join us on Twitch. Hit the follow button. It is free.
That's right. So just go to twitch.tv/soccercooligans or make it easy for yourself and just go to eltwitche.com. That's eltwitche.com. And that'll bring you right to our account. And hit that follow button right now. What you waiting for? All right, Christian, our guest is finally here.
That's right. This is our first guest as we're in Europe.
That's right. We feel different, too, now that we're in Europe. You know what I mean? Okay. We don't tip no more. You feel me?
You know,
you're going to have to get used to it, New York.
They said, oh, we're going to be talking to a footballer in Europe? Well, we're going there. Are we going to where he is?
No.
Just kind of close.
But we're not that far. this is an absolute honor. I mean, you get to see someone who is playing for the men's national team for U.S. soccer, and he's out in Europe doing his thing all the way from PSV Eindhoven. Ladies and gentlemen, put your car in park so you can put your hands together for the one, the only, Richie Ledesma.
Richie, what's good, man?
What's up, guys? You guys good?
What's going on?
We came in with a lot of energy.
My guy's like, all right, I'm going to tone this down a little bit. They too here right now. You too late, my guy.
Richie, it's an honor to meet you, man. I know the first thing I want to talk to you about is, last year, unfortunately, you had a bad injury. And you know, from all accounts, we're hearing that you're on the mend. You should be playing really soon. How are you feeling? How did you feel when that injury happened for you, and how are you feeling now that you're so much closer to playing?
When it happened, obviously, you know, everything was going perfect, and you know, injuries happen, and obviously I got not the worst one, but one of the worst ones. But now that, you know, I get the chance to have that recovery, that 9 month recovery is good for my mental health and, you know, my physique. So it gives me time to, you know, be the player I want to be. So honestly, I'm thankful that I'm still healthy and I'm still young. So, and I can't wait to be back on the pitch. So, and I'm going to be on the pitch very soon with the group in October. So hopefully that gives me, you know, enough time to, you know, to show myself enough so I can go to World Cup qualifiers, if not the World Cup, you know, so.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's young and healthy. Two things I'm not. and I ain't got no injury. This is just me. This is me at 100%. let's talk a little bit about choosing U.S. soccer, because this seems to be a big thing online. You got the opportunity, which a lot of players do. We're both Latino, right? So we understand the situation you're in. No one's asked us to play soccer anywhere. Not even pickup games, nothing. Even if we own the park, they'd be like, all right, go do something while we play.
You've done enough.
Yeah. I feel like, thank you. Now your turn is done. But you made the decision between Mexico and the United States of America. Tough decision. Was there anything specific that made you make that decision? Was it the potential talking to us? What was it that made you pick the men's national team? And first of all, thank you for picking the men's national team.
Well, sorry to break it to you guys. I haven't picked yet.
Oh, okay. All the rumor is that you picked.
No.
Okay.
Still...
Okay, well, then we need to shift the question. How do we stop you from picking Mexico?
You got one cap, though, right?
I got a friendly cap, so it's not. It's an unofficial game.
So it doesn't. Yeah. But okay.
Damn. We need to call and have that friendly change to official.
No, but I'm very happy. Right,
we'll talk about the decision then. What goes into making that decision? Because it's a tough one.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm very happy where I'm at with the U.S. men's national team. Obviously, they gave me the opportunity. They believed in me, so that means a lot. But I still haven't closed my doors for Mexico, but. Right now, I need to get back, you know, on my recovery, and my knee needs to be 100% before I make any big decision. So, but I'm very happy with the U.S. and I can't complain. So, that's all I have to say for now. So, yeah.
Yeah, because you have,
hold on, that's a good political answer. I want to give this young man some credit. Okay, I know what you've been doing when you've been doing recovery. You've been doing media training. My guy could run for office in Eindhoven. I didn't know he was a senator. Damn. Well, the constable, Richie Ledesma, over here.
Love it. Richie, I do want to, so I want to talk about that relationship with that group. You do have a lot of, you know, like in the youth tournaments, in the youth World Cups, you have played with a lot of these guys that are either playing on these senior teams or really trying to get in there. But what was that dynamic like with a lot of those guys? Who are the players that you were closest to while you were, you know, in a lot of those camps and playing in those tournaments?
Right. No, I'm cool with everyone. Honestly, like, I have beef with no one. I'm cool with everyone. I like to get along with everyone.
Yeah, but who's in the group chat, Richie? Who's in the group chat?
Just like all the U20. Like,
yo. did Weston McKennie send you a picture of the girl? No, I'm joking. No. Don't answer that question, Richie.
I can't say.
I imagine it's... Yeah, you can't. Yeah, don't say. You can't say, and you won't say.
No. Definitely. We're going to strike that from this interview. No, I'm sorry. You were saying you're friends with everybody.
No, like the U20 guys, obviously, when I went to the U20 World Cup, so like Chris Richards, Serginho Dest, like Alex Mendes, Uli Yanez, so all those guys, you know, like I'm really close with. And, or, yeah, like we are really close to each other, and we always stay in touch. So it's nice to have that youth system to bring it in the men's system. You know, like we're all young now, as you can see with the national team. So I guess it like brings up a little like, how do I say it? Like a little like party life into the group, you know, like we're all like super hyper and, you know, we'd like to be energetic.
Yeah.
Like even with Tim Ream, like one of the older guys, you know, like he's starting to like feel like our energy and he matches our energy. So It's really cool to see, like, all right. Yeah.
Tim Ream's gonna be doing TikTok dances.
Like, he's like, "Hey guys, I'm a savage." You're like, "Nah, that's it's over with.
We're not doing that one.
We finished that one like a year ago, dog." how about just like make the decision based on the kicks that the managers wear? And I think Berhalter wins. He always wears Heat on the sideline. Nah. My guy's got the ill plug. Who's hooking him up with these joints?
Right? I'm really into shoes.
Tata too. Martino just be wearing Air Monarchs. You can't pick Mexico. with them employee Damn. New Balance joints.
Rich is going to think U.S. Soccer sent us to convince him.
U.S. Soccer's like, "What is it, John? Did he swear? We can't use this interview."
Anything, they're gonna give you guys credit.
Yeah, there you go. Dude, we'll go to the game, Richie, if that'll help, and we'll just roast everyone there.
It must be dope, especially you know, all those guys you just mentioned. A lot of them are playing in Europe. You know, so you guys get to at least bond in that way. I mean, you are 21 years old in Holland, trying to, you know, obviously a very different environment than Phoenix, Arizona. What is that like for a lot of these players that came from U.S. soccer, but also what is it like for you being a young kid, Latino, do you know Dutch? Did you learn? Are you trying to learn? What's going on?
It ain't easy, bro.
It's not easy.
I took classes for maybe 6 months and
The first time you saw it written, you're like, is this a word jumble? Am I supposed to solve this puzzle?
It's challenging, bro.
Even the alphabet, they made me do the alphabet. I was like, no, it's not gonna work out.
And you're like, could you bring me an alphabet that's not from Star Wars? Is that possible?
I was like, let me teach you guys Spanish, dude, and let's see if you guys can pick it up in 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be easier.
They just have that, like,
you got other players from go ahead, you were saying
they have that, like, the accent is like a, like they're always like, and that
the phlegm is strong, yeah.
It's really strong, so like when they
that's
say,
not good for droplets,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
But when they
we in the wrong condition right now for that.
Yeah, when they speak to me, I understand a lot of it, but I just sometimes I have to ask again, you know, because the messes me up, like it's too strong for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So like I always have to question them, like, what'd you say? Like, sorry, like,
yeah. The only time in our culture is when someone going is like a drunk uncle, a drunk tío at a party.
Exactly.
He's like, exactly. Like, no, stay right here. Exactly. You can't drive. You ain't going nowhere.
Exactly.
What you call it? Well, you obviously have some other men's national team players that are playing out by you. Serginho Dest is originally from there and played for Ajax. Have you spoken to him about, you know, the Netherlands at all? And has he tried to get you to pick the men's national team? Because I know he had a pick as well.
Serginho lives in his own little world, honestly. But
He wore a full Chicago Bulls jersey and shorts to Messi's farewell.
That's what I'm saying.
I want to talk to Serginho Dest.
He does his own thing. He's a funny guy. So.
Right. Okay. I want to talk a little bit. You, I know before we started talking to you, you mentioned that your mom was in town. I mean the simple question has to be, when it comes to Mexican food out in Holland, what's the struggle like, bro?
Yeah, you tell me about it. There's no Mexican food out here at all.
No.
At all. So obviously,
dude. I mean, what are you trying to use a stroop waffle as a tortilla? I mean, there's the.
No, but yeah, my mom makes.
Yeah, that might actually be a good idea.
You can at least make a choco taco out of it because it's sweet. What would you say is like the thing you miss most? And do not say friends and family because that's not what this show's about. We don't care about anything heartwarming. What do you miss most about Phoenix? Is there something that you're like, yo, I just wish I had Lolo's chicken and waffles?
That's really good.
Something.
Yeah. No, my mom's food for sure. My grandma's food. Oh wow. Like her tamales, her tamales, or another level. Yeah. You guys need to try them. It's crazy.
Well, we got to get invited to a quince or something out there. We'll come out.
Yeah. No, but yeah.
Okay.
My mom's food is...
It's dope that she's there. Did she bring anything that she could make for you?
Did she bring out the maseca? She's like, she's making tortillas in the corner.
She actually brought like this thing we call consomé. I don't know if you guys know.
No. Oh, of course. Yeah, for the birria.
Yeah. So she brought that. So
I'm a fat guy, bro. You know I'm going to know about the food part. That's the part I'm interested about. I didn't ask you one question about playing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, cool, man. That's awesome to see. Can we talk a little bit about playing for PSV in your time there? I mean, there aren't too many, you know, you are part of this generation of young men that are getting this opportunity to play in Europe at a very, you know, at a very young age. What was the reception to you when you got there? And what is just the system like at Eindhoven that you feel will help you develop as a player?
Yeah, when I first joined, obviously, with the under-19s, Ruud van Nistelrooy was my coach. So you don't have that every day.
Yeah.
So
crazy.
So to me, that
you're
was...
just like, yo, I play with you in FIFA.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Crazy.
It's crazy. So like, it was a motivation to me, and it changed my whole like soccer mental being in a way, because I was like, who gets coached by Ruud van Nistelrooy, you know? So like, and obviously we had a good relationship because he speaks Spanish, so he helped me a lot through that. And then when I went up to Young, there was another coach which we kind of had like beef, I guess, in a way, in the beginning. But then we like had a good relationship, and it's all about having good relationships. Like, it's important, you know, to if you want to play, and not only that, if you want to, you know, have friends, and you know, you just have to like have those open relationship with our teammates and stuff like that. Even though sometimes you don't want to, you know, they can get annoying, they can play around too much, you know. But obviously, like with Young, I did well, I feel like. And then I got my chance to play with the first team. So, and the new coach, Roger Schmidt, he's really honestly like a nice guy, cool guy, you know, like, and he believed in me. And honestly, it's been a hell of a ride with him as a coach. And he's gave him my debut. And so, like, I respect to him. And, you know, like, hard work, you have to put in some hard work, you know, to make your dreams come true. And you know, I'm not even close to my dreams coming true, because shit, I want to play in the World Cup and Champions League, you know, win a Champions League. I have so much to do, you know, and you got to put in the work, you know, to get all that stuff. So
okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for saying that this is part of your dream coming true. One of your dreams is to do the show. That's really sweet of you. We'll edit that so it did sound like you said that. You talk about playing in the World Cup. If you had to make a choice in the past, and you don't have to pick now, it would be great if you did on the show, but you don't have to. If you look at the landscape of CONCACAF over the last few months, it does seem like the U.S. kind of have the upper hand. Watching that from afar while you're injured, is part of that influencing your decision making at all?
Oh no, honestly no. Like I just want to be playing, you know. Like honestly, if I was there, I would be happy. Yeah. Like I wouldn't complain, you know. So obviously, I like to watch football, so it's sick. Like, but struggling against like El Salvador, Honduras, you know, we have to beat those teams. I understand the atmosphere, whatever the excuse is, but there shouldn't be no excuse. Like, you know, we're a young team. I get that, but, you know, we have to, we have players that play in Champions League, like Gio Reyna, you know, they talk about Weston McKennie and Christian Pulisic. Those players got to show up, you know, like it's not just given to you, you know, just because you have good players, you're going to win a game. So
right.
To me, that they have to step up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And even, yeah, yeah. And even the and as far as the difference in I mean, you started at RSL and then to go over to Europe, what was that a big shock as far as the level? Was it immediate that like wow, these guys are so much better than me, or they're at a different level? Or was it, yo, the Americans are kind of at a better level nowadays, and we, you know, I wasn't that far behind, or maybe I was a little bit better than some of these dudes.
Let me ask you the question. What do you think?
Okay. It seems, wow. A lot of guests don't do this, and I like this. So I'm gonna say,
I was
because
gonna get a microphone. And, you know, I already like I was asking you the question.
Ooh, we're on the spot now.
The Ledesma show. All right.
The Ledesma games.
So I would say, because given that I had seen you in some of these U tournaments and the U20 World Cup and yep. all that stuff, I would say you were probably better than. I'm going to say at least 20-30% of the dudes there. That's kind of where my mind at. Where they were, you know, if it was a starting 11, it, like only like 4 or 5 of the guys would be better than you. That's my mindset. But so what's the truth?
No, that I agree, I guess, in a way.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No, but yeah.
Feels good.
Yeah, it was different, obviously, the level.
Do you think you were I was going to say, do you think maybe like in that transition from Real Monarchs to going to even young PSV and then getting in that senior development, when someone looks at that, if someone looks at, you know, your resume, they're going to go like, wait a minute, how did Richie not even play in MLS? How did he go from there? Were you missed over? Were you skipped over at some point? Or do you think like maybe there was like an advancement in your development that someone maybe you could attribute to something you did or someone that made you just springboard? Because it does seem like by the time you got to that senior squad level, you were absolutely incredible.
Right. Nah, I honestly don't know. Like, to me, it was a big change, obviously, like physique-wise, because I don't know if you guys ever see me in person. I'm not the biggest. Like, I'm fucking tiny, so, well, I don't know if I'm allowed to cuss.
Yeah, that's fine.
No, that's okay. We'll leave it.
But I'm really small. Like, I'm only 5'8", so, like, to me, it was a really big change. You know, I had to work in the gym a lot, so, like, and then seeing those huge players, I would have to look up, you know, like, but that doesn't matter to me. But that's how my mindset, I guess, is different from other players. Like, I like to go in the game, you know, like me being confident, me being better than them, and me telling, like, I like to talk a lot on the field. Like, I'm an annoying player. Like, I talk to the ref, you know, I talk to the coach, you know, get in people's head. They get in my head. I get red cards. I get yellow cards, you know, so... I guess it's part of the game.
Have you seen in the NFL now, they're getting in trouble for taunting?
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
Even just for talking a little smack.
Yeah.
Do you think they could ever do that in football?
I don't think so. It's part of the game, I feel like. It's just like, yeah. It gets us going, I guess. Like hitting each other, you know? Like, it's funny. Like, I don't think they'll ever change that. Unless VAR comes in again, ruining the game. But
yeah, they can hear you. The VAR is like, nah, he says something about his mom. Nah, that's a yellow. That's a yellow. Nah, no moms, yo.
I wouldn't be surprised if we Richie, had headsets. Everyone had headsets, so.
Right?
They mic you?
Yeah, they mic us. I wouldn't be surprised.
Richie, Richie, the next thing we have for you, we have some questions from fans. This is called Gully Squad. Gully Squad are the Cooligan supporters group.
Because they keep it gully. You
okay.
Feel
like? So we have a couple questions from some of our supporters. So we have a question from Grayson. He said, are you aware of your cult following among U.S. men's national team fans as a rare American number 10? And do you see Scuffed as your number one fan or a stalker. Scuffed is a popular USMNT podcast. You may see that they tweet at you from time to time, but are you aware?
It feels like they're tweeting at you from outside your window sometimes.
There's a legend growing about Richie Ledesma. People, not only do they want you to be a US men's national team player, but they want you to be a star on this team. How do you feel about that?
I just think it's funny. Like, I do pay attention to my social media a lot because I like the little drama, the whatever, talking crap or whatever. I look at all that stuff, you know? To me, it's funny. It doesn't get in my head, obviously. Like, I don't think nothing ever does, except for this injury, maybe. But to me, it's cool, like, to see that people are really, like, investing in me, like, investing time, I guess, in their social media. So I think it's cool. Even Scuff, right, they posted about me a lot. So, and I do read about it. I hope you guys know that. Like, even my DMs, I read them all. Like, but maybe I don't reply, but I read them for sure. So it's cool, I guess, in a way.
Okay.
Very cool. We got one from Andrew Johnson. He said the U.S. men's national team is now full of guys with gray heads of hair, right? And that is true, right? It seemed like the past generation was a lot of baldies. But now we got a lot of guys who got, you know, they bring their product or whatever. Andrew wants to know, who is the most vain about their hair and spends the most time on it? You know, by the way, you just thought of a name. So don't you dare not say it.
It isn't you.
It might be you.
No. Serginho, 100%.
Serginho.
He's always like, you know, looking.
Because you got the waves, bro. He's always brushing
the hair. I'm just like, bro, are you. Like, we're about to play a match.
So
you're
funny pushing
your
that hairline forward.
My God.
Dude, I had that. Remember that brush you put your finger in? They're like dudes with tight hair, dude. I brought one of those. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm wasting my time. I got like guano hair.
Oh my God. Incredible. Richie, all right.
He'd be brushing his hair sometimes.
Oh, Tim Weah? Yeah. I can see that. Yeah. I mean, always got the sharpest hair.
Yo, tell Tim Weah to follow us back so we can comment on his photos. We locked out. That's why I'm disrespectful. He's from New York and we from New York.
Yeah. Okay.
You tell him when we see him on the 6 train, we're going to say something.
Okay. All right, Richie, thank you, man. You absolutely crushed this. We got a couple pieces of business before we let you go. We got to get to our Golazo gift. This is your opportunity to celebrate a goal on our show. We will turn it into a gift that will live on the internet forever. Alexis will give you a scenario, and you can celebrate it however you like. So, Alexis, what do you think?
All right, so you back from injury. You balling your first game back. Let's see. You want to show the fans that you back, right? And it's like, let's say it's the 89th minute, right? And you're trying to thread a pass to one of the attackers, but you realize the defender just gave you a lot of space. So you curl one real nice into the top corner. Now, but not only that, if you did score on this, PSV Eindhoven promised to open you a Lolo's Chicken and Waffle in Eindhoven. And you'd get the number to Greg Berhalter's sneaker plug. You score, so now you get both of those. How do you celebrate?
For the haters or?
Huh?
I'm asking for the haters I celebrate or for who am I celebrating for?
Oh, yeah, whoever you want.
Yeah. How would you celebrate that goal?
I'll probably do the classic Memphis Depay, you know?
All right.
Which is also how he picks the beats for his music. He does this. Sorry, man. My bad, man.
He got some bars?
Some bars. I think he leaves them at home when he goes to the studio, but he got
Richie, thank you so much for joining us, man. Is there anything you want to let people know about? Anything you want to plug before we let you go?
You guys can follow me on my Instagram, Twitter. That's all I have. I was going to say Facebook, but I don't have Facebook. Richie Desma.
Bro. Facebook's for grandma. Yeah. Nobody uses Facebook anymore.
MySpace. Jokey. But you guys can follow me.
My guy on MySpace. You could be in his top 8 if you try hard enough.
Okay, and where can people follow you?
At Richie Desma on Instagram and Twitter. So
at Richie Desma. Yeah. All right, everybody. Make sure you do that. And also make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social platforms. Mm-hmm. Make sure you follow at Fubo Sports as well. And subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program and a bunch of more clips. So, all right. Richie, let's end the show the way we normally do, as is tradition. So please join in with us. So for Richie Ledesma, my name is Christian Polanco,
and I'm Alexis Guerrero.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans.